66, the past, present, and future of Isaiah of Israel. It's part five, and it's the first part of this part five. Goes back and takes a look at part four, which I talked about on a previous Wednesday night. And so I'm going to continue on and review a little on the first part. Isaiah 66, 7 through 9. I talked about this already, and I'm going to go through it quickly. And then I'm going to read something, and I hope that having gone through it once before quickly on part number four and going through it right now, that if anybody ever asks you about this, you'll be able to tell them what it means. Because this is a scripture that nobody understood until it actually began to happen. And some of it is still future. This is Isaiah 66, 7 through 9, written in 700 B.C. Before she, Israel, travailed, before the nation of Israel travailed, she brought forth. It says, before she had birth pains, before she ever had any birth pains, a child was born to her. She was delivered of a man-child, the man-child Christ Jesus. Well, Isaiah wasn't predicting that when Christ was born, Mary wouldn't experience any birth pains at all. He was talking about something that was an overall picture that had to do with Christ, the past and the present and the future of Israel. He said, who have heard such things? Who have seen such things? If Imogene had ever had a child without birth pains, I would have been absolutely, completely, utterly shocked and amazed. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? He says, I'm talking about a birth on a single day. And he said, this birth is going to be so unusual that if the baby's going to be born, and then the birth pangs are going to come later, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, he says, now when Zion did travail, when Israel did have birth pangs, she brought forth her children. He said, Israel didn't just bring forth a man-child, that whenever she actually did travail and had the birth pangs, she brought forth many children. So he's writing this in 700 B.C. and telling you one day a man-child is going to be born, and the man-child will be the ruler of all Israel. But this man-child, the woman, Israel, will not have any tribulation or trial before he comes. It's going to come afterwards. And then as soon as Israel, the woman Zion, does start to have birth pangs, she's going to bring forth many children. Then he asked him a question. He said, shall I bring to the birth? He says, do you think I'm going to give these birth pangs and not cause to bring forth? He said, do you think Israel, after you've had this man-child, and then later on, you have all these birth pangs, that I'm not going to bring forth any children, saith the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? He said, am I going to cause pains and keep the baby inside Israel, the children inside Israel, saith thy God? Well, I've explained what that meant, and it's quite remarkable. It's one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Bible, as I indicated before. I've already exposited on Isaiah 66, 1 to 9, and parts 1 through 4. In brief, Isaiah's Messiah was born and rejected hundreds of years before her still future great tribulation. That's her travail, her birth pains, through which she must pass for her rejection of Jesus Christ. Yes, the earth will be made to bring forth a nation in one day at once at the end of the tribulation. That's when she's going to have her birth pains. She hadn't had them yet. And yes, she's already given birth to Christ, but before Christ returns with all these children, she's going to go through a tremendous birth pang period called the tribulation period. Yet, the earth will be made to bring forth a nation in one day at once at the end of the tribulation. He makes the point that he would not put Israel through the horrific time of birth pang, bring her to the point of being his nation, his people once again, but then shut up her womb to not let her children come forth to him. He said, I'm going to do this. He said, don't have any doubts about it. Two-thirds of Israel will perish. But God will bring forth a remnant of his children, his elect, through this horrible time of unbelievable terror, and he will claim them as his people, and they will claim him as the Lord their God. This is a wonderful prophecy, marvelous prophecy, exciting prophecy, and it really excites me. Spiritually, this just excites me to the depth of my soul. But I'll tell you what makes it so exciting. This is about to happen. all the things that are happening in the Middle East, forgive me. I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm braggadocio or I'm Mr. Know-It-All or Mr. Smarty, but this thing is coming down in the Middle East just exactly like I said it would. And what's so real about it? I've known for a long time that we weren't going to have a major war in the Middle East until the American troops were pulled out. Why? Once they went in there, have you ever taken a map? That's what I was going to show on the map. Look at the hundreds of miles of border that Syria has to its east on Iraq. Hundreds of miles, long border, hundreds and hundreds of miles along its border that joins Iraq. Then go over and take a look at Iran on the other side. Hundreds and hundreds of miles of border right exactly between Iran and Iraq. Do you think that you're going to have a major war over there with American troops in Iraq? You can forget it. So I haven't had any qualms at all in telling people you're not going to have a war over there until the American troops are pulled out. Well, you all have been watching the news and you know what's happening. And the latest impetus they have for out of all this mess in Washington is that even though Bush is determined not to pull them out, he will. And the best estimate that I've been able to get from these different meetings and groups and reading between the lines, they say in the last report I got, they'll have most of them out in early 2008. Okay, I've said that he was coming between 2008 and 2012 till it's coming out your earlobes. It's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. Now, this isn't one of those things where somewhere later on I'm going to say, I changed my mind. Sink or swim. 2012, if I've been wrong, I'm going to take a big swallow and say, I'm wrong and I'm going to sink with the ship. But quite frankly, I think I'm dead on. And I think that this is going to happen. So this right here is something that's in our very near future. You know, as I've said many times, when Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And you can ask any psychologist, you can ask any college professor that keeps up with anything that's philosophical, and he'll tell you that the unknown, is the greatest perpetrator of fear. If you know something ahead of time that's going to happen, and then it happens, you're not nearly as afraid as if it happened suddenly and you had no idea it was going to happen. Most of the world is going to be in shock when this thing occurs. I'm not concerned about this country. I'm not concerned about the war. I'm not concerned about the Antichrist attacking us. I'm not concerned about a thermonuclear blowout. And the reason I'm not concerned about a thermonuclear blowout is a very simple one. I'm one of these young men that went down under the desk during the atomic age. I'm one of these young men that went through the Cold War. I'm one of these young men that watched the philosophy and the ideas of all the major world powers. We're not going to have an atomic war. You say, well, that man over in Iran is crazy enough to do it. No, he's not. He's crazy like a fox. Israel has one of the greatest thermonuclear arsenals on the surface of this earth. They have hundreds of Jericho missiles, at least 300 in the Negev. I know this. This isn't something I read in a newspaper. And they have at least 200 warheads, thermonuclear warheads. And the Jericho missile is a Jericho 1, a Jericho 2. That's what I worked in the service. And the truth of the matter is, right now, if Iran were to launch anything at them that was nuclear, Israel would have full justification in destroying the entire nation of Iran. She would, and they're not going to give her that. The main reason that Iran wants that is a deterrent. Sure, they're crazy. Sure, they're mean. They're mean as hell. I say that reverently. But the truth of the matter is, they aren't stupid. And I'm not worried about thermonuclear weapons. And Israel could never be defeated in a thermonuclear war by any stretch of the imagination. That's not opinion, that's a fact. And the Arabs all know it. But how can Israel be defeated? They can be defeated in a conventional war where they only use smart weapons. Right now, they are building a link. This isn't something that I'm just telling you overnight. I predicted this for a long time. They're building a link that runs from Iran on across to the west to Iraq, on across through Syria and into Lebanon. It's a link of clay and iron. Syria is an iron nation. Iran is an iron nation. They're both very powerful. And Iraq is a clay nation, as well as Lebanon. And this link is being built right now. And you're going to have a major war in that area in 2008-2012. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast in this country. I do not believe it will be put on in this country at all. I do not believe that when it refers to the world, the cosmos, or the Lanos, I do not believe it is referring to the world as we know it today. I believe it is referring to the world at the time that John wrote the book of Revelation and the time that Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah wrote their books in the Old and New Testament. I'm not afraid of us being wiped out by thermonuclear war. Now, you may think I'm a fool, but I don't believe that we will be. So as far as being here in this country and being afraid of anything, what am I afraid of? Well, the only thing I'm afraid of is that people will lose confidence in God. And the only thing I'm really worried about is between now and the time this thing occurs, people will get discouraged and they'll be scared to death when it happens. So when it happens, that's what I'm concerned about. Now, this is coming down. It's real and it's genuine. And I've never been so excited about anything in my life. Back in the 90s, when I kept saying he'd come before 2000, and when I said the attack would occur before 2008, my carnal man kept saying, hey, you better be careful. You're going to look like a fool. Well, by the turn of this century, and by 2003, I knew that if I'd go about 4 years before 2007, and 4 years after 2007, and make it 2008 to 2012, that I would be in the right ballpark. I believe that's going to be the case. So I'm delighted about it. My life's an easy thing now because I don't have to sit around all the time and be concerned about this prediction and that prediction, because right now everything in the Middle East is pointing to that. And it's a wonderful thing to know, and it's a wonderful thing to know he will claim them as his people and they will claim him as the Lord their God. We are going to actually be there and see this happen. And it's real. It's as real, as strong as your faith is. If you believe what God says in his word, this is very real to you. If you just are kind of lackadaisical about it, yeah, it's a pretty good chance. And I hope that happens. But with me, it's past that. This is reality to me. This is what's going to happen, and it's not too far off. Now, when he talked about this tribulation and this trial, this is what he was talking about. You've seen that scripture many, many times. But you can see a scripture many times, and the scripture not actually become real to you. It can be a scripture that you can see, and you can understand, and you can say, well, you know, that's going to be a pretty bad time over there. That's going to be a terrible time over there. I agree. It will be a terrible time over there. But for the first time, I know that's not too far off. Can you imagine this? I think this is going to happen between 2008 and 2012. I mean, I'm convinced of it. That doesn't make it so, but I'm convinced of it. And this shall come to pass that in all the land that is in Israel, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. That's got to happen. God said so. You say, well, what if there's no God? Then it won't happen. And if there's no God, you got no problem, because there's no hell and there's no devil. And when you die, you'll just lay down there and go to sleep and you won't know a thing ever happened. And one fellow said, well, that ain't so bad. Well, it's a whole lot better than hell. But the truth of the matter is, we got something going for us, that the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. God said that. It's going to happen. All I'm doing is telling you that that happening is not far off. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. No more going to church in a building. Church will be an everyday occurrence, an assembly in heaven. And imaging won't have any flowers to grow. Well, no, that there may be some flowers up there, but you won't have to worry about the greenhouse working or leaving the door open at night. And it's just going to be a great time. There may, Brother Doty, he was convinced there was going to be some fish up there. And he asked me about it, and I said, I don't know. I said, Bible doesn't talk about fish up there. It talks about fish in the millennial reign. So I said, Lester, at least you'll have 1,000 years down here to work on fish. I said, that's a long time, Lester. Matthew 24:21-22. Now this is the travail. This is the travail. This is the woman's travail. And this is her birth pain. And when it comes forward, man alive, it's going to be bad. But at the end of it, the child that they rejected 2,000 years ago is suddenly going to come again. And this time he's going to stay. And this time a little child shall lead them. A little child shall lead them. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now some of this flesh is going to come through the tribulation period. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. If God didn't shorten this horrible part of it at the very end of the tribulation period, there wouldn't be any flesh left. But he's going to leave some. Daniel 12:1. This is the same time, and this is not too far off. And at that time shall Michael stand up, when all the chaos comes to a head. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, Michael the archangel of God's people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now some people believe that this is the book of life. And I suppose with the rapture occurring at that time, that could be. It could be. But I have a strong suspicion that applies to a remnant, since he's talking about the angel of a particular people, Israel, and he's the prince of Israel, then I suspect this is a book of remembrance for the Jews he intends to bring through the tribulation period that are saved at the very end after the 144,000 and all the saved on this earth are caught out on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. I do think some people are going to be saved after the blowing of the seventh trumpet because of the witness and testimony that was left behind. And I do think they're going in to the tribulation period in bodies of carnal flesh, just like I've got, with a new spirit, just like I've got from God. And I think that's what's going to form the basic remnant of the people who are going to actually work in a physical temple, children of God, who are just as saved as I am, but they still are carnal in the flesh, and a small remnant will be brought through the last 45 days of the tribulation period. Malachi 3:16. Now, here is the book I think it represents. If you want to call it a book of life, that's perfectly legitimate, because these people come through in flesh, and they're in this particular book. And they're all Jews because Michael is standing for the children of thy people, Israel, God's people. And I think they're all Jews, and Malachi is writing this to Jews. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I think the 144,000 are going into the Negev, and I think they're going to be witnessing like a bunch of bunny rabbits to all the rest of Israel. There'll be almost 2 million Jews fleeing to the Negev, one-third of the Israeli population. And the 144,000 will be among them. The 144,000 will all be saved, born-again believers. And they will last up until the seventh trumpet. And they will witness and tell them that Jesus is the Messiah. They will tell them everything that's going to happen. And some will believe it and some won't. The ones who believe it will be saved and will be raptured out on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. But there are 45 days approximately remaining in the tribulation period after that occurs. We will be caught up to heaven with them on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. But after that blowing of the seventh trumpet, for the next 45 days left in the tribulation period, there will be a remnant that will speak often one to another of what they have been told by these 144,000. And they will believe it. They will believe their testimony. And a book of remembrance was written before him. I think this is also a book of life for them that feared the Lord and they that thought upon his name. And I believe when Jesus comes back, this group will be left in physical bodies, born again believers in carnal bodies, and they will start the temple worship. And we will be on this earth, you and I and the 144,000, we will be in heaven on this earth, not visible to all these people that are left on the earth, but visible to one another and the angels of God. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son, as a man spareth his own son who serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. They will be the judges of Israel. And the 12 apostles will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Isaiah 66:9. Shall I bring to the birth, and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? The Lord will bring Israel to the travail of the birth pangs of 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. They will not escape them, but they will be delivered from them. 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. For when they, Israel, shall say peace and safety, when they finally think that they are strong enough to withstand any kind of an attack, whether it be nuclear, thermal, chemical, biological, or if it's a conventional war, when they think that, boom, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as birth pangs travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. 2/3 of them are going to perish. But ye, and the ye is plural, he says, now I'm talking to you brethren in the church at Thessalonica. He said, I'm talking to you now. He wasn't talking to them here. But when they, Israel, then suddenly comes upon them, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So whenever this occurs, I am not going to be surprised, because I've been expecting it for some time. And it's a question of whether or not you believe it's coming, and most of the world doesn't believe it is. Now, this is the account in Isaiah of the rapture, what they call, or what is properly called, the first resurrection. So way back there, 700 years before Paul ever wrote, more than 700 years before Paul ever wrote his epistles, Isaiah wrote about this first resurrection. And the first resurrection is what I'm going to be a part of. Thy dead men shall live, meaning you dead men of Israel, those who were believers that the Messiah would come. Together with my dead body shall they arise. He said, with my dead body also. And he was an Israelite. He was a man who knew God intimately. He was a man who had faith in the coming of the Messiah. So his body is going to arise at the same time as mine. Awake and sing. It'll be a joyous time. Now, that's really the point tonight I'd like to get across. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. When you leave your... I'll tell you right now in heaven what I believe is happening. I believe Tud George and Blanche George and Lester Doty and Hazel Doty and all the rest of them that have departed this earth, knowing the Lord, having their faith in Christ, I believe their souls are in heaven right now. And forgive me for using this expression, but it's a modern day expression and it gets the point across quite well. They're chomping at the bit. They're like a horse. They're chomping at the bit, waiting to come back for their glorified body. They're underneath the altar and the sixth seal, and they're saying, oh Lord, how long before you avenge us on the earth? They're very anxious to come back and get their glorified body that's dwelling in dust. And he says, one of these days, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs. He said, one of these days, all of a sudden, you're going to appear on the earth. It's like you went to bed the night before, and the ground was dry, very dry. You got up the next morning, there were big drops of moisture all over everything. It just appeared out of nowhere. And that's what the glorified bodies are suddenly going to appear like. And the earth shall cast out the dead. He said, this time is coming when you're going to be singing, because you will have a new body, and that new body will no longer dwell in dust, and you, the soul, will have a new body made out of what the original body was made out of, but an entirely different substance. And you're going to have a body that will last forever, made out of spiritual elements. And the earth shall cast out the dead. That's the first resurrection. Now he issues a warning to Israel about this time of travail that's going to come on the earth, this time when the woman is going to have her birth pangs, and the child will finally come. She didn't have any the first time when Jesus came. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. He said, get inside and get low, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. He said, this isn't going to last forever. In this particular case, I suspect about 45 days. Until the indignation of God be overpassed. Then he tells what God's going to do. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now this is talking about a time when Israel is going to be restored. This is a very important time to me, and it's a time when I'll be singing, I'll be rejoicing, I'll be dancing, and I'll be clapping my hands. I won't have to have any more inhibitions about dancing and clapping my hands. And God will want us to jump and shout and clap our hands. He says, Romans 11, 25, 28, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. He's talking to the Gentiles. Yes, we've got New Testament churches. Yes, the Lord is head of the church. He's the foundation of it. Yes, he's very special to us. He said, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, he said, this isn't going to last forever. It's happened to Israel. How long will it last? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I tell you, the fullness of the Gentiles of this age is just about ready to come in. What's going to happen when all this travail starts and when it's finished? When it's finished, and so all Israel shall be saved, it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Israel, from Jacob. Well, you say, that's pretty interesting. Well, there was a day in your life that God's Son came to you and turned away all ungodliness in your life. And from the day that happened, he looks at you and he considers you to be godly, because you have his Son living in you. And when he sees his Son, what he sees is the Son who is ungodly. But this is going to happen to a whole nation. The remnant left over after the rapture, after 45 days before the tribulation period, the rapture will occur. 45 days before the end of the tribulation period, the rapture will occur. And then this is when Jesus comes back, and all the rest of them are believers, because they had the witness of God left to them by the 144,000. He says, for this is my covenant unto them. He says, this is my covenant. He said, this is an unconditional covenant unto them. You say, well, I don't understand that. I don't know why. You were saved by an unconditional covenant. God saved you when you asked for it. He didn't say, let's make a deal. He said, okay, I'll save you now, and you can stay saved if you'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All good children go to heaven. When they get there, they will yell, hallelujah, I'm not in hell. Well, the truth of the matter is, that's an unconditional covenant that you were saved by. When I shall take away their sins. You say, how can God do that? Well, he took away your sins, didn't he? And he took away my sins. Only this time he's going to take a whole nation's sins away. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Anything God does seems fair to me. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, remember he said that the very elect would be saved. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. Make no mistake about it. God loves the local New Testament church, and God loves you and me. But don't ever forget that God loved Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He loved Abel. He loved Noah. He loved all those people in the Old Testament because they believed on a lot less evidence than you've got. And yet they were faithful. So this is going to be a time of rejoicing. I'll get to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's just going to be, I don't even know exactly how to describe it because there's many aspects of it I don't understand. But it's going to be wonderful. Isaiah 66, 10 through 12. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. If you don't love Jerusalem, if you don't love Israel, you need to start responding to the Spirit of Christ inside you who forgave him from the cross. All ye that mourn for her, rejoice for joy with her. Man, I'm looking forward to that. All ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. I don't remember any of it, but Mom breastfed me. And she said I was the hungriest little booger she ever saw in her life. So it must have been very satisfying. And he's using that as a picture of a person who has complete satisfaction. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. And the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream, the Gentiles will come to worship in Jerusalem. Then shall ye suck, and shall be borne upon her sides, and be dawdled upon her knees. Micah 4 and 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. No more church age. But I promise you, this one will be a whole lot better. Each age has been better than the one before it. And this is going to be the greatest up to that time. But in this very chapter, later on, it talks about one after this one that's just beyond all understanding. And I'm waiting for it. I don't...